You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Thank God for him. Blessing us to have this opportunity to stand before you this morning and to deliver God's word. Yes, we are truly grateful for this wonderful privilege and opportunity. To all the ministers, to all the deacons, to all the saints of God, I greet you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite your attention to the first epistle of John, the third chapter. Yes, Lord, bless me with these thoughts from our Wednesday night Bible class. Yes, Lord. Yes. Get there, say amen. Amen. All right. We want to read three verses, beginning the third chapter, verse 1 from the King James Version. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Yes, 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 yes. And from these three passages of scriptures, we lift our theme: when we look like Jesus. When we, yes, Lord, look like Jesus. At what time did we begin to take on the nature of our Savior, Jesus Christ? And at what time will we accomplish or achieve or attain the complete and full nature of our Lord and Savior? When we look at this epistle, we note that John strives to encourage the saints, and especially in a turbulent time when they find themselves facing all kinds of adversity, conflicts and misinformation. We're living in a time today. We are being bombarded with all kinds of information. Matter of fact, you got it right there on your your phone or your iPad. Yeah. You see people all the time. Matter of fact, when I say something, you're probably going to check to see what the meaning of the word is. You're going to Google it. We rely on and we get all kinds of information. And the amazing thing about it is yes, Lord, the Bible has not changed. The inspired word remains the same. And it is the vehicle by which we are acquainted with God. Yes, it is, the infallible truth. The thoughts and intents of God's mind, heart, for us to have a right relationship with Him. And the operative word is relationship. Now, the first epistle of John was written to dispel doubts and to build assurance by presenting, yes, a clear picture of Christ. Jesus was and is God in the flesh and in clear focus. John walked and talked with Jesus. He saw him heal, heard him teach, watched him die, met him arisen, and saw him ascend. John knows God. He had lived with him and seen him work and enjoyed fellowship with the Father and the Son all the days of his life. And in this first epistle of John, he explains in simple and practical terms what it means to have fellowship. To have fellowship. To have fellowship with God. In chapter 3 and 4 of John, he denotes God is love. And because God loves us, he calls us children and makes us like Christ. This is the key point in these three chapters, being made like Christ. Now, this truth should motivate us to live close to Him. Are you striving to live close to Him? We can be sure of our family relationship with God when our lives are, filled with good deeds and love. Yes. For others. John wrote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he penned these epistles and he wrote the revelations of Jesus Christ. He wrote the gospel to declare the deity of Jesus Christ. He wrote the epistle to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings, to stand on the truth, to believe in and trust in God's inspired word. And he wrote the revelations of Jesus Christ to disclose, the threefold division, the things which thou hast seen in Revelation, the first chapter, the things which are, Revelation, the second and third, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, I encourage you to read this entire epistle and this third chapter in its entirety. But I just want to bring out a few points here. The key verse in this first epistle of John, in that fifth chapter, in the 13th verse from the New Living Translation, it denotes, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that ye may know and have eternal life. You hear that? Listen to John in his appeal. In the same manner, you will find these key verses in the gospel. Look at the harmony of John and his writing on these different occasions. In John 20, verse 30, 31, I love it when I read the gospel. It brings home the point. In verse 30 from the King James Version, and many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Through his name. And finally, you will find these key verses in the Revelation, which is also in harmony. Listen at it. Revelation from the New Living Translation. I like the way it is penned here. Verses 26 and 27 of that 21st chapter. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty. But only, thank you, Jesus, only those whose names are written, thank you, Jesus, in the Lamb's book of life. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you believe the fables you've been reading about? Well, so the most important question I address to you this morning concerning life and life everlasting. Do you know God? Do you? Do you know Christ? Those very important questions. They are life-changing questions. Do you know that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ? I encourage you, yes, to read this epistle and to read it for clarity. And note that this particular chapter is divided into two main points. Verses 1-10 simply denotes the evidence of a true believer. And verses 11 through 24 denotes the life of true believers. What? In deeds and in love. Now, an important point to point out as John labors in the word to convey to the saints, he have them to understand it requires true belief and commitment to your
belief. Listen what it says here in verses 9 and 10. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sins, for his seed, the seed of Christ, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God were manifest, and the children of the devil. So I hold that there's two kinds of people in the world. Those that are born again and are believers in Jesus Christ, and those that are condemned for rejecting Christ. So my appeal to you this morning, yes, when will you look like Jesus? The evidence of believers and non-believers, the evidence of those who are born of God and those who are born of the devil. You see, you got a lot of, yes, watch it, Reverend Register. You got a lot of counterfeiters in the church. Not outside the church, but in the church. They're kissing heaven doors on their way to hell. And the sad thing about it is the gospel is being preached daily at Macedonia. Yes. We have a shepherd that lives what he preach about and preach about what he lives. And ministers that are striving to follow his leadership and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's good news, I tell you. So this sets the stage for 3 points. The amazement of God's love. Yes. And those, yes, who are becoming like Jesus. Yes, and finally, we're looking at Christians' hope in Christ. So let's address this just briefly, if we will. When we're talking about God's amazing love, listen at what the text says to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He calls your attention with the imperative request. Pay close attention. Examine yourself. Who are you? Listen and look at the kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The kind of love you have been endorsed with as a child of the King, that we should be called the sons. I like that. Yes, a powerful word. We shall be called the sons. Right. Watch it, Reverend Register. Go ahead. Listen. You have a personal relationship. Everybody in the church can be called sons of God. Yes, I love the song that they just got through singing because I have a personal relationship with my Father. Yes. And he simply denotes what? Divine parental love. So, I have a problem. There are those who have been messed up with the expression that God's love is, yes, unconditional. When the scripture clearly established with us that God's love is conditional. You hear the world say, God is love, and he is. What's the condition? It is the inherent, innate nature of God. Therefore, it's conditional. It is unique and amazing, God's love. And we see in John, the third chapter. Check it out. Read it. Most of you know it by heart anyway. John 3, 16 and 17. When you read this particular chapter, I encourage you to make a note there. For you see the divine declaration of the gospel presented to us by Jesus Christ in his discourse, yes, with Nicodemus. Listen what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto Nicodemus, I say unto you who are reading these scriptures, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's conditional, brother. Yes, yes. You know why we're right. Yeah. Woo. Take your time, Reverend. Listen, if you will. That's what he says in that 16th verse. For God so loved the world. Yes, he does love the world. He loved us enough to provide us with an opportunity to enter into his kingdom. But listen at the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, that's conditional, believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. I'm sorry, but that's conditional, brother. It's about a process. And there's a process, the work of the Holy Spirit, conviction and regeneration. John 16, verses 8 through 11. Listen what it says from the King James. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's all conditional. Regeneration in Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. Which we have done. It's not by righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we see then God's amazing love. None of us qualify. But there is prerequisite to accepting the precious gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who came for the express purpose of delivering us from our sinful condition. Yes, then we see becoming like Jesus. In that second verse, listen what it says to us in that second verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, upon us accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, accepting the extraordinary gift that God has presented, now are we the Son of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him, I told you, tell you. Our desire is to be like Jesus. Is that right? Well, Paul, in his discourse in Philippians, the churches of Philippi, he says in that second chapter in the fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Listen what it says, let this mind be in you. What mind? The primary example for us is that it is the very nature and character of Christ that we inherit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Therefore, we are children of adoption and we have Christ's inherent nature. Thank you, Jesus. I love the beautiful metaphor my pastor shared with us in his sermon one time, talking about children playing together in the yard. And when the street lights came on, it was time to go home. Though they all played together, they had to go home. All those who wasn't registered kids had to go home. All those who wasn't Pastor Twyman's kids had to go home. You see, my kids have the benefit of insurance and health program. They have the benefits of inheriting those things that I have for them. That's what sonship is all about. Watch yourself, Reverend. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Look what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. I love Romans, the 8th chapter. He simply says to us, verses 1 through 5, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Yes, who walk, who live, who conduct their lives after the flesh. Now listen to what it says. But after the Spirit, when you act like Christ, you show evidence that inherent nature has to come out of you. What you talking about? Yes, read Revelation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Get this now. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, yes, through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they, thank you, Jesus, that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I ask you again, when will you, yes, look like Jesus? Well, what is the evidence? Christians are free of indwelling sin. Yes, I want to stay there, but I got to move on here. Christians are free of indwelling sin. Paul denotes our freedom of living in the Spirit. As Christians, we are no longer under the sentence of the law. Yes, yes, thank you, Jesus. All Christians should shout there. We are empowered by the Spirit of the living Christ. Romans 8, 14 and 16. For as many, it's pretty clear too. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, thank you, Jesus, the children of God. So we're looking at sonship through the spirit, kinship, which leads to relationship. And when you have a relationship with Christ, you've changed. Your life has changed. As believers, we have received the spirit of adoption and possesses the right to sons born into God's family, having an exclusive privilege of eternal inheritance. And finally, Christians' hope in Christ. In that third verse, it simply denotes to us that believers' desired expectation, our glorious transformation. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We have something to celebrate about. Not only have our life changed to living a morally pure life for the cause of Christ, but listen, we begin to demonstrate the very nature of Christ. Listen at 3 and 21 of Philippians from the New Living Translation. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything, yes, under his control. As Christians, we live our lives with meaning and purpose because of our hope and victory in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the life we are striving for, the life we have invested in today through our labor of obedience and love, which determines our life eternal, our inheritance in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a song. When I see Jesus, amen. When I see the one who died for me, amen. Yes, Paul, in his deliverance to the Corinthian church, he penned these words in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in remembrance, yes, the things which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Listen what he says as I fast forward to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm reminded of a short story I heard that goes to point out the bride and the bridegroom. When a lady gets married, she often comes down the aisle with the veil over her face. Yes, obscuring her vision and appearance. Her full picture is hidden. But then there comes a time When the bridegroom removes the veil, he puts the veil back towards the back so she can be visibly exposed. You see, we're simply talking about the church. When you come before the book, in order for the Spirit to do the transforming work, you must come with an unveiled faith. Yes, and be willing to be exposed. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I'm just talking about the church. When we, yes, get to that day, I'm talking about that glorious day, that day that have been made available to us because of the wonderful works of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came down through 42 generations, stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea. Yes, he tabernacled around here for 33 long years. But the scripture tells me the mob crowd took him and marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And he did it for you and I. Look at Jesus, I tell you. He's never said a mumbling word. They marched him up Golgotha's hill. They nailed his hands and riveted his feet. He hung out there on the cross for you and I. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Jesus hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. He said, "It's finished." He declared, "The debt has been paid in full." So everyone that wants hope in Christ can have hope because Jesus paid it all. They took him and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be to God, early on the third day morning, Jesus got up from the grave, declared all power.
Please stand to your feet.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.